some leaflets. If you would like a leaflet on the notes, please just lift up your hand and we'll distribute these out. Thank you, Samuel. And on point six here, we did points one and two last week. I did points three, four, and five in the midweek session on YouTube, and the link is on Facebook. And now we come to point six, stay strong in faith. And it says there, the righteous shall live by faith from Romans 1, 17. But I just want to read from the verse before as well to put it into context, because it says something very important. It says this in verse 16. It says this, look, for I am not ashamed, Romans 1, 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For everyone who believes, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, this is a very interesting thing. I think we live in a day when more and more people, and I'm talking now about the people in churches, more and more are, in fact, ashamed of the gospel. In the sense that they don't stand up for the gospel because the gospel is slightly embarrassing to them. And so what you have is not the gospel of the Bible. You have, in fact, a morphed gospel, which really isn't a gospel. Galatians 1 talks about that, and other scriptures as well. But it's not a full gospel, but it's because people are ashamed of it because of its absolute nature. The gospel is really something that it stands out in modern society for various reasons. Number one, this gospel is, okay, this gospel stands out because of this. It is an absolute. So it involves absolute truth, this gospel. It says, look, this is the absolute truth. And this is the absolute truth that Jesus died for our sins. Now, look, what does this mean? It means this, that you and I need salvation. If I go to someone, and this is what I say often, and I would like to suggest to you that you try this in the week. Go to someone, okay? If you have an opportunity, do this in the week. See what happens. Because we're talking about the gospel. If you say to someone, do you believe the gospel? They may say to you, or if you say to them, where do you think you're going when you die? And they'll say to you, well, I hope I'm going to heaven. That's generally what people say. And they say, why do you think that? Well, I'm a good person. And that's often what people say. So then you could say to them, oh, you're a good person, so you think you're going to heaven? You say, yes, that's what I think. And then you say to them, well, let's do a test in accordance with what the Bible teaches. So you could say, have you ever said a lie? And people will say, well, yeah. Oh, okay. Have you ever stolen anything? Even a small thing like a paperclip or something like that? Well, yeah. Okay, I have. This is what people generally do. They say, oh, well, yes, they admit they have. And then you say, have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? God's name in vain? Well, yeah. And you could go on, and sometimes I have, but I'll spare you. I won't do it now. We'll stop there. We'll just say this. You could say to those people then, well, the truth is that you're not that good a person, because by your own admission, you're a thieving, lying blasphemer. You just admitted to being a thieving, lying blasphemer. So in the light of God, are you that good? No. You see, but what the society breeds, self-righteousness. And people are self-righteous. And they don't live humbly. And they need to realize that, no, I'm not all that. I'm not all that. I need help. And I need the mercy of God over my life. And I need to come with mercy before God humbly and say, Lord, help me. I have done wrong. Help me, Lord. Are you with me, everyone? And when we say that then, you see, that then what happens is, then we're in a place where we can say, Lord Jesus, then the gospel kicks in. Because there's no good news without the bad news. The bad news is, according to the Bible, and this is where people are ashamed of it. If you go to a funeral, if you go to a funeral service in the UK, you will hear a preacher or someone, if it's a Christian type of funeral, regardless to the spiritual condition of the person that's died, for the sake of the family, oh, I'm talking some stuff here today that you don't hear very often. I'm telling you, you won't hear it very often. I'm just going to talk the truth, okay, everyone? So the preachers will basically say, well, they're in a better place now. But the truth of the matter is, only God knows where they are. And according to the Bible, they're in a better place who have trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, I'm sure that we'll be surprised at who's in heaven. I'm sure of that. God knows. Only God knows. It's so what we have to do is understand his terms and his conditions. And his terms and his conditions are that by faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, we enter into that heaven-bound position. That's how it happens. So this wonderful thing happens. When I recognize that I've sinned and that this, I put my faith in Jesus, he sucks all the sin out of me, so to speak. It all goes on the cross. And not only that, then he imputes his righteousness into me. And then he sees me as righteous and I'm clean before him and I'm heaven bound. That's the process. That's that a great exchange that takes place through faith in Jesus. It's a wonderful mystery. It's the gospel. Now that gospel message set this country on fire years ago with the Methodists in the 1700s. John Wesley preached that. Now he was derided by the Church of England. They despised him for preaching that message. In fact, they banned him from preaching in their churches. He was not allowed to preach in the Anglican church. So he went to the church where his father was the vicar, and he stood in his father's grave and he preached it from there. And the crowds were there and they listened. And that man rode around England on horseback preaching this wonderful gospel. In the first years of his ministry, they despised him often. And he was attacked. He was a brave man. I mean, he was attacked. And he was pulled, and they tried to beat him up, and they tried to throw things, stone him, and all sorts of things when he first started off. But then by the end of his ministry, those same towns that he was once attacked in, were when they heard that Mr. Wesley was coming again, they'd see him coming, and they'd line the streets, and they'd applaud him as he rode into town. What a great man John Wesley was. John Wesley was a great man. And John Wesley preached the real gospel. And he preached sermons which you can read today, like the Almost Christian. And he was very clear, very articulate. But what happened was this. In this country, there was an industrial revolution from 1760 to 1830. And that revolution was fueled by those Methodists who were working hard because they had a conscience before God. And they said, well, I'm going to work now as God is my Lord. God is my Savior. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to work honestly. I'm not going to be someone who, is cheating my boss. I'm going to really work hard. And that contributed to this great industrial revolution that took place in the United Kingdom. It was a tremendous thing that happened. And it spread around the world. I mean, it's a remarkable thing, but it was the gospel at the heart of this. That's what fueled this. And of course, today, that's not written in the history books. But you look at those industrialists, they were Christians. Well, most of those industrialists were very strong, committed Christians. And so this gospel is something not to be ashamed of. So it says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Well, I've just told you that the gospel in summary form is, and we're not to be ashamed of it. But many people, they are ashamed of it, and they cover it up. They never talk about this thing called hell. They never talk about that. It's a foreign subject. And yet Jesus spoke about it, and the early disciples spoke about it, and the early church spoke about it, and John Wesley spoke about it, and Charles Spurgeon spoke about it, and all the Christians throughout the ages, as far as I can tell, they were aware of it, and they spoke about it, and the New Testament is very clear on it. In fact, did you know that the New Testament speaks on that more than it does heaven? Because it's trying to warn people. And so we mustn't be ashamed of the gospel. Know what the gospel is first. Know what it is and be clear about it, and then don't be ashamed about it. And when you talk to people, this is what I believe. And you'll see some contorted faces, perhaps. But you just, well, this is what I believe. And be simple, you know. We don't have to be profound. It's a simple belief. And it says this. In fact, let me just go to the first before 16. Let me just read from 15 for further context, because this is the unction that was behind this by the Apostle Paul. "So much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also." You see, he was ready to preach this great gospel. And then he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." You know, I have, we have just ordained a man in France, and he is from Algeria, and he is from a Muslim background. And as a Muslim, in the Muslim community, he's friends with the imams, he still goes to the mosque, and he talks to the imams, he talks to the Muslim community. Some people are against him, but you know, a lot of people respect him. And you know why they respect him? Because you know what I find with the Muslims, you know, when a Muslim comes to faith, they have a bit of fire in them. They got a bit of fire in them. He knows what it is to believe. And he has a fire in him. And bless him, he is going around preaching the gospel. And he is talking to people. He's saying, "Look, this is what this means. This is what this believes." He has a fire and a passion in him. And he's seeing people come to faith from the Muslim community. It's very interesting. And he's highlighting things in the gospel that perhaps people hadn't seen before. And he's debating and he's engaged. But the point is, he's engaged with people. There's a passion and a fire there. And it says this, look, "For the Jew first and also for the Greek, it's the power of salvation." And it says in verse 17, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So he's called us to live by faith. So what is this faith that we live by? Well, faith, you know, faith means, or an application of faith is like a title deed. So as you have a title deed for a property, faith gives you a title deed to something. Faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of which isn't seen. So you hope for something, and if you have faith, you've got the title deed of that thing. It's yours. It's really yours. It's amazing what faith is. Anyone enjoyed that before? You know, where you believed for something, and yeah, you believed for it. You didn't understand why. Everything in the natural told you you can't believe for that, but somehow you just still believed. That's called faith. And it says it's the title deed, even before you've seen it or experienced it. it's yours. You know, I've experienced that in the realms of healing or in the realms of the natural realms, more natural realms. It's a wonderful thing to experience, faith. So if you have understood the gospel, you now have access into this realm of faith, because those who are justified by the gospel shall live from faith to faith. So what are you facing in your life today? What's your circumstance that you're facing today? What's the difficulty that you've got? Are you facing a health thing? Is there a health issue? Or is there a circumstance issue? Let me tell you what to do. Don't complain about the thing. Speak to it. So Jesus tells us about faith. Jesus goes on and talks to us about faith. Come with me. Let's go to Mark 11. Come with me to Mark 11, please, quickly. We'll just go to Mark 11. And in Mark 11, we are taught in Mark 11 something so beautiful, so powerful. Okay? It says this in verse 20. Remember that Jesus cursed the bush. There was a bush, it was no fruit in it. Jesus cursed it. Watch this from verse 20. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them." The just will live by faith. Well, what does faith look like? It looks like that. It looks like that, so that you can sculpture your world by faith. You can really use faith as a tool in your life and say, right, this is my situation. I'm going to employ faith and I will sculpture this world that I live in. It's that job. It's that impossible situation. Our sister said about the difficulty, many difficulties that there are in life. So many difficulties. Well, we've got to sculpture those things. How do we do it? By faith. We can do that. We can employ faith. And we can do it. They've had an election in America. Last year, when I was in America preaching last year, I was invited to a Republican campaign fundraiser meeting. I went to that fundraiser meeting in Louisiana. And in Louisiana, they had elections for the senators. And also, the election was taking place for who's going to be the Speaker of the House, which is the third highest position in the American government. So when I get there, I speak to the people. I said to the senator, she cheered me on the radio. I was talking about that book that I wrote, The Cybernetics of Faith. And she heard me on the radio and she said, "Oh," she said, "I really enjoyed that. I loved hearing what you were saying." She said, "It's very interesting." I said, "Well, tell me what's going on here tonight." She said, "Oh, we're having a fundraiser. We're so far behind in the polls. And we've run out of money. And they're taking TV adverts out about us. And they're lying in the TV adverts." I said, "They're lying in the TV adverts?" I said, "Surely you've got some redress through the courts." She said, "No, there's nothing we can do because it would be too expensive to take them to court. And you're allowed to say all sorts of things in the media in a political campaign in America." I said, "That's terrible." I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" She said, "Well, what can we do?" I said, "Well," I said, "how many of you here tonight are believers?" She said, "Oh, we all believe." I said, "You all?" She said, "Well, pretty much most of us," she said, "are committed Christians." I said, "Wow, there's a lot of people in that big gymnasium." I said, "Most of you are committed Christians?" I said, "Okay, this is the thing then." I said, "Most of you are committed Christians. You've got this election. They're all against you. You're behind in the polls. They've got loads of money for TV adverts. You've got no more money for TV adverts. I said, there's only one thing you can do. If you're being unjustly treated like this, you've got to go to the higher realm. You've got to go to the supernatural. And we and I spoke to them about this very thing. I said, look, it says that you can move a mountain. I said, what you've described to me is a mountain that's facing you. You've got a mountain and it seems impossible. But I said, the Bible tells us that we can, in fact, speak to mountains. And we if we speak to mountains with faith, we can, in fact, move the mountain. I said, please tell me, everyone, do you think it's possible that we could move this mountain with God's help? Is it possible? They said, well, yeah, I suppose it is possible. I said, okay. I said, let's think on it a little bit more. We looked into some more scriptures, and I just shared those scriptures and shared that with the room. And I said, right, now what we're going to do is we're going to speak to that mountain in Jesus' name. You see, my precious brothers and sisters, this faith thing that we're talking about this morning is not about theory and intellectual assent. It's about reality in our lives. There has to be a reality change. So if there's a health issue, if there's a circumstance, if there's a job thing, if it's finance, whatever the thing is, this is meant to impact into that situation. This is not just an intellectual assent, okay? God is calling us to use the tool of faith, and the just shall walk by faith. The just shall walk by faith. What does it mean? It means they employ faith. What does faith do? Faith moves mountains. So if you have a mountain, good, move it. You're not listening as good as you should be. I don't think, not by the claps. You should be listening more. Listen, we have this awesome potential to move mountains, to really do business with Almighty God and shape our destinies, shape our future, shape the society, in fact, in which we live. We can do that. I believe that. And it only takes one to believe it. So, you know, let me tell you what happened. That night, okay, that night, something special happened that night. I was there, Bishop Stephen Ballant was driving me around, and we knew something special happened. Oh, it was powerful. A few days later, the election took place. Each of the senators that I laid hands on won their election. And Mike Johnson was elected for the first time in history in America, someone from Louisiana being elected as the Speaker of the House. I'm telling you, it was not looking that way in the polls on that night when we visited. It was far from that. And I received an email from the senator, and they said everything changed that night after you spoke to us. So, look, it gets me stirred up. It gets me excited. God placed me in Living Faith Church for these years so that I could be here meeting with you and speaking with you this morning so that you could get excited as well. Because he's got something for you to do. He has got something for you to do. He's calling you to be a shaper as well. He's not put you here this morning by accident. Or if he put you in front of someone who's able to do those things by God's grace and be used by God in those remarkable ways, so many testimonies we've had, he's doing it for a reason. He's called you and he's equipped you for things, maybe into the family, maybe into the realm, the sphere of influence that you have. I don't know what, but I know that God has called you. God is about this business, everyone. And we've got to put a demand on ourselves. It says this, and I close with this. It says this. The just, what does it say? What does it say? The forms are in front of you. The just shall live by faith. Live. Live. Live by faith. They come alive by faith. They come alive by faith. They live by faith. They don't live by sight. They don't live by the natural. They're not depending on themselves. They live by faith. So he's called us for this. And he's equipped us for this. Now the question is this. We have to put a demand on ourselves. God doesn't do this for us. God draws us. But we have to say, I will live by faith. And many people don't do that. Many people shy away. They forget it. But we have to say, I will live by faith. I will put a demand on myself. The Bible says the just will live by faith. I will live by faith. So I face a mountain. Okay, I'm going to live by faith. Whatever I face, I'm going to live by faith. Even though it's unreasonable, I'm going to live by faith. That's what I'm going to do. So I just give it to you this morning, everyone. Live by faith. See what God will do. He's got great plans for you. Let's stand together, everyone. Let's stand. Praise be to God. So we're going to just a very short confession, then we close in a song. Follow me with these words. Heavenly Father, I choose to live by faith. The just live by faith. Help me to shape my future by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father.